Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
I miss Eric Reveneau, the former head basketball coach, University of Portland, now at Georgia Tech as an associate head coach. Good follow on Twitter as well, and he joins us. Where are you today, Coach?
I'm at home. I am social distancing at home, working from home, and things are good. Thanks for having me on.
Where's home?
Home is in... It's between Virginia, right in the morning side of Midtown Atlanta. So Virginia Highland is a nice little town. And I got to tell you, when my wife and I moved out here after leaving University of Portland and coming here four seasons ago, Virginia Highland reminded us of Portland. It had a nice little vibe to it, and we enjoyed Portland and loved it. And Midtown Atlanta felt like that in a lot of ways. It's been great. It's been a fun place to live.
I miss having you on. I miss talking to you. It's good to hear your voice. And there you are on social media, mixing it up as you always do, which I enjoy. And now you're leading a little mini movement here about Election Day. For people who don't know, and you should be following at Coach Reveneau on Twitter, November 3rd, you're saying needs to be a mandatory off day for the NCAA. You're talking about athletes being part of change. What do you mean by that?
I'm really talking about the NCAA helping lead change, you know, voter participation of 18 to 24 year olds, supporting our athletes so that we have an off day. So there's no practice. I mean, think about it. In my almost 25 years of doing this, voting days, and not just presidential election years, but the off years too, and the critical local elections, the student athletes that we mentor and teach in so many different things, we overwhelm them on election day. We don't do as good a job as we can do. And I'm very careful to say, you know, I think I can do better. And my thinking behind this is, and I got to share this because I don't want to come off insincere or where it comes from for me is that we had a Zoom call Monday night with our team. And it's predominantly men's basketball, a lot of African-American athletes. And then we went around the room and we were supposed to share two words about how we felt. And the two words that I shared as a 54-year-old white male were embarrassed and disgusted. And I'm embarrassed and disgusted because what have I done? You know, and the guys were quick to respond and supportive, and I got some texts and, you know, but did I engage enough? Did I vote enough? Did I participate in the process of being an American? And did I help the young men that my mission in life is to help them be the best they can and to build championship teams? But did I help them engage in being American? It's not politics; it's just it's civics. And if my generation, I went back and looked at my age group, my demographic each year. You know, and my first election that I could have voted for was in 1984. And in the 1986, you know, elections, 20% of my age group voted. And you just go down the line, the high is like 50%. And the current 18 to 24 year old population voting trend line is down. And just engaging and being an American in that right. And I got to give credit to our senior on our team, Malachi Rice, said, he goes, I appreciate guys protesting. I appreciate that. But what Malachi said frustrates him is that guys protest, but don't vote. And I got knocked around a little bit myself last week. And what can I do? I tweet a lot and I say stuff, but I want to do something. I want, you know, and I feel like if my generation had done a better job the last 30 years, 54-year-old guy, guys like me who have good hearts, but not maybe good, but we're beyond that. We've got to engage and make a difference. And so I committed to them right there that I would do better. So
I like the idea of focusing on November and placing an emphasis on the election day, making it more important, making your local elections important, your national elections important. I think you're talking really about engaging people and empowering people, aren't you?
Yeah, you know, I don't know where we lost it or where we, you know, we Georgia Tech has a tremendous program called Total Person. University of Portland has great life skills programs. The people doing those things, the mission of University of Portland is fantastic, and the teaching faith service and what they do in terms of helping young people become adults, and college athletics play a critical role in that. We have speakers come and talk about financial literacy and that we have resume writing seminars. We have all these programs, nutrition. And what we do is we're trying to teach student athletes positive habits for life. And what I'm excited and focused on right now is we got to teach them civic engagement. You know, vote how you want to vote, but civic engagement, so that when as you grow older, you're engaged. It's like saving money. If you understand what it's about, you're engaged and you understand what a local election and what's going on. So we need to do more in that area. And I think the NCAA, we need to do something at an NCAA conference and school level to let people know that we care about these student athletes as not just about maintaining status quo. We can legislate and do things for collective change. So that's what I'm excited about.
If the NCAA doesn't get behind it, would Georgia Tech do that? Would you guys do that as a staff? Could the College Basketball Association of Coaches do this together? Are there other ways to do it? Because I fear that the NCAA won't share your passion.
100%. I mean, not that they won't share my passion, but whether they can. And it's a tough summer to get other stuff done. I mean, college administrators, you know, have their hands full, you know, and I get that. And so, no, very much so. If I'm shooting for an NCAA, you know, mandatory day off, and if we fall short, I've got a lot of schools on Twitter. Georgia Tech men's, women's basketball, and football have said that they're not going to practice on that day. And for Georgia Tech football, they got a game. So a football team has a game on Saturday. They play Duke this year on November, whatever the after November 3rd is, whatever that, do the math there. But then on November 3rd, they're taking the day. Coach Collins has said they're taking the day off. It's important. And we got to say, and I get a lot of pushback that, like, well, you can do absentee ballots. They're going to allow them out of state. You can vote early. You know, I'm a small business owner. I find time to vote. Well, it's about which holiday isn't symbolic, which holiday isn't about stopping and giving us pause and reminding us what our responsibilities are. They're all, that's what, and so, and it's not, you know, and people start saying, well, it should be a national holiday and stuff. Well, I'm just working on what I can work on. That's where I've committed to trying to do better. And I think on the campuses, Seattle U said today they were going to do it. Mark Fuse told me at Gonzaga that they're going to not practice that day. It might be missing some schools that have reached out. I'm trying to think of regional ones out there, but like schools are saying they're not going to do it. Georgia Tech, we're not practicing on November 3rd. And we can very much do that. And we'll take pause and try to engage our guys. Because to be honest, and this is what people this population right now of college student athletes, they're looking for direction. They're looking for, you know, the Black Lives Matters need to be said, and you can tweet about it, but what are you doing to help change things? You know, I've seen a lifetime of people saying good things, but what can we do to change? And I believe the American system of voting and engaging, and I trust our guys to be thoughtful and conscientious, and things will get better if everyone engages.
Eric Reveno with us, Georgia Tech assistant head basketball coach. The Zoom call that you were on, if you don't mind sharing, you were embarrassed. What were some of the words that some of the players shared?
Frustrated, angry, tired, And just that's where my heavy heart, you know, to sit there with, because being in college athletics, you're inspired daily. The people that I'm around, that's why I love doing it. I'm inspired by these guys, and to have these, the burden that they're feeling, and the what they're taking on is just, that's what causes my embarrassment. My generation is supposed to have done it better and set them up better. And so I'm not trying to dwell on that, but move forward. But there was angry, you know, it was just, there was a lot of raw emotion, you know, it was eye opening and thoughtful and powerful.
Eric, the country right now, it went from coronavirus into something that I think is, dare I say, it was more impactful. It was more important to people. I mean, you saw people who just said, to heck with the coronavirus. I'm getting out in the streets because I'm frustrated. I'm angry. And like you, I'm doing a lot of those same questions. Am I doing enough? I've got this platform. Should I be using this show to talk about it more? So I really respect and appreciate that you are trying to be part of a change and trying to get people to think and engage. I think that's powerful.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I mean, I just, one of the things talking to coaches is coaches got kind of pressed into having to say something because people started consciously or subconsciously keeping track, especially white coaches, of who said something and who hasn't. So coaches, without naming names, I feel pressured, and they're good guys, and they're guys that you would want, if I was an African-American, I'd want my son playing for. And so, you know where their heart is. So then they finally come out with a statement. But whatever it is, we don't know as a profession necessarily how to best engage. I think we, as American citizens, need to engage and do what we can. And so what resonated with me when I woke up Tuesday morning was, I got to do what I can do. I've never been confronted with something I'm not happy with and not tried to do something. I've never, you know, and I want to teach these guys habits. I want to help them. I want to make a difference. Then I can do it. And how much, you know, taking on the NCAA is not what I want to do. I'm not really taking on. I'm just trying to provide a solution. And whether it fits right now in these times, I don't know. But the conversation, that's why I thank you having me on. And I'm still processing a lot of it because it's hard. It's important that we have this dialogue so that we can figure out, you know, I mean, to be honest, thinking about you and the Bald Faced Truth Foundation and your activity, you know, like, and to me, I figure like, so we got our tails kicked once and I still drove over and bowled with you guys. Bowled my best game of my life, by the way, at that bowling. Bowled the best game of my life because my mind was so elsewhere. It was out of body bowling. They thought you brought in a ringer, but those things matter. Those things matter, and there's stuff I can point to that I've done in the past that I feel good about. But I need to vote more. Local elections, I need to vote more. Like, you know, who's the Portland elections when I was there 10 years, you know, was I as involved? Did I, you know, in reading about the school elections and Portland's an engaged population and my views on climate and civic duty improved living in Portland. I was made better by my experience in Portland, but did I do as much as I can? I think it's just how I live my life and what I do. I'm just going to try to do better. You know, I'm not, to the older guys, I say, I'm not going to become Norma Ray or anything. I don't think, but I'm just going to try to do better.
Eric Ravino with us. You were the starting center as a senior on Stanford's first NCAA tournament team in, I think, 47 years, 1989.
Yeah.
Guys go 15-3 in conference. How much was race talked about in the locker room when you were an athlete on a team?
Not very much. There was a big thing going on in my last year about drug testing athletes and some things like that. In Stanford, we had some discussions about that were eye-opening as an athlete. We were still rough around the edges in terms of language and stuff, probably, you know, looking back, and we've gotten better in terms of political correctness. But one of my good friends, Howard Wright, I remember this, walking across Stanford campus. And ironically, I told this story to this group of Stanford guys. I said, I was walking across campus, Stanford, and I remember this distinctly with Howard Wright, my teammate, 6'8", 6'9", African-American, played in the NBA a little bit, Howard Wright, were walking through, and ironically, I remember exactly where we were walking through White Plaza, and another black student comes walking by us, and he says, "What's up?" to him. He goes, "Hey, what's up?" And we walk our three steps the other way, and he goes, I said, "You know him?" He said, "No." And I said, "Oh." I said, "Why do you say hi?" He said, "We always say hi to each other." You know, that sort of experience. And so we weren't closed, and it was a very good environment for that. But Then what do I do with that feeling? What do I do with that understanding?
Right.
You know, do I know what it, you know, I had a former player reach out, who was talking to us, and he was telling me about him having to teach his African-American kids, his children, how to handle when they're stopped by police. And I, what have I done to make that better for him?
Right.
What, you know, why do I not have to tell my kids that?
It's not even something to think about.
No. I mean, I keep my hands where they can see them when I get pulled over. Like when I got pulled over in Sylvan, for that one time for myself being on the cell phone when it first came out in Portland, I keep my hands on the wheel, and I'm respectful of yes or no, sir. But it's not the fear that they have. And so I know that, and I feel that. What can I do about it? You know, and if it doesn't start with the most fundamental active participation of voting, I don't know where it starts. And I don't know. Did you take a civics class? Did you have civics in school where they taught you civics?
Barely. Like, you know, high school, it was just the bare minimum. I barely remember any of it. And I don't know if it was me not paying attention or not being that interested in it, or if it was
the 100%.
Yeah. Whatever you guys do as a coaching staff, if you say, "Hey, conditioning's important," The kids register that. If you say to your players, "Hey, this is, I wish I had done better and I had been more tuned in to my civic duty, and this is where you can have an impact," those kids are going to pay attention to it. And especially if they're given a day off to sort of say, "Hey, this is like, we're not practicing today." That's a big deal.
Yeah. No. And that's where I'm obsessive about trying to make sure my guys sleep. They're college students. They need to sleep. But they want to be in the NBA, and they want to be to graduate from Georgia Tech with an engineering degree. And they're trying to achieve these great things. And I'm obsessive about trying to talk to them about sleeping, about eating and nutrition and what food we get them. And we feed them well now, and we do these things, and we now give them money. We give them cost of attendance, and we give them a housing thing, and we give them Pell Grant, and we talk about financial literacy. We got to do better in terms of talking about being an engaged citizen. And because what these athletes, so the guy that was telling me about having to teach his kids how to handle a police stop, I think it's about 40 now. And, you know, like, we teach them all kinds of habits. To me, you're exactly right. It's just teaching them the habits of engaging and positive life habits. This needs to get back into the conversation. I think, like I said, I'm 54, born 66. I think somewhere the civics conversation got cut in our education conversation, but I didn't vote hard. I didn't vote focused enough, or wasn't involved to even notice. So that's sort of where I'm at.
Eric Reveno with us, Georgia Tech assistant basketball coach. All right. We've got the coronavirus still going on in the backdrop of everything else we're talking about. Are you confident we're going to have college athletics, or as a coach, I guess you have to plan for it until they tell you it's not happening?
Yeah. Boy, we're solving the big issues today, I think. So my view, you know, is that we trust the scientists, we follow the scientists. I think, you know, people here in Georgia, my friends in California and Portland, are sort of wondering how it is in Georgia. We're opening up and stuff, but it hasn't been. People are still, my family still doesn't go to restaurants and eat. We're still cautious. I go shopping once a week at Trader Joe's and wear my mask, and we still are taking precautions. And I think that'll happen. And I think we're moving forward. I think that's happening at leg. Georgia Tech is very much taking the path of moving back with local athletes, June 15th, very conservative, no, just straight coaching athletes. And we're going to learn from doing this. And we got to figure it out a little bit. I think the class, I think we're going to have school. We're going to have football. And what I've seen out here, not as much at Georgia Tech, but you get out here, one of the things that's different out here is the importance culturally and for some places economically of college football. I mean, I grew up in the Bay Area, you know, as you know, and you know, it wasn't a talk to in football here. Things revolve around. You see people that are, I know my next door neighbor follows Clemson. The other side, they follow Georgia, and you know people's affiliation is important, and we're going to move forward with some of that. I don't think it's necessarily bad, but they got to figure it out. And school-wise, I think the class schedule, back to the voting, the class schedule is going to be longer. They've told us already our kids' schedule is going to be spread out through the day. They're going to be smaller classes, maximized facilities. You know, it's going to be – and so practice times are going to be hard. Weight room times are going to be managed, and so we're moving forward. But, yeah, I'm optimistic that we got some really – we're working on it. So,
Eric Reveno, I appreciate what you're doing. Keep up the fight. Thank you, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Fun to talk.
All right, Eric Reveno, Georgia Tech assistant. Let me know. Tweet at me at John Canzano BFT. Tell me what you think of the suggestion. I think it's a great idea. Leave it here. All right, coming up, Punch It Audio will be electric. Jonathan Smith going to join us here momentarily. Football coach at Oregon State. We'll talk about the...
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.